Today we have a group of people that are gone to a conference about human trafficking, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that in the context of people that are vulnerable and people that God has called us to minister to in different ways, because they are part of that group, people that are caught up in human trafficking. And I want you to be praying as we talk about this, maybe how the Lord is calling our church or calling you as an individual, as you think about different groups of people. What has God given you a passion for? How is He calling you to be a part of that? So pure religion, James talks about that. He says pure religion, this is James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Pure and undefiled religion is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I want to focus on the first part of that verse, particularly the widows and the orphans, and they are part of this bigger group that I'm talking about. There are groups of people that are sometimes overlooked, that are sometimes ignored, that are in some ways vulnerable to certain things, and some of these groups are needy. Listen to this. This is Mark chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, believe in the gospel.'" Right? The kingdom of God is at hand. That was the essence of what Jesus was saying. The kingdom of God is at hand. And he's inviting us to be a part of that kingdom work, of course. And then in Luke 4:16, talking about Jesus again, it says, "So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And then in Luke chapter 11, a little further, verse 2, "And so he said to them, 'When you pray,'" Jesus said, "pray like this: 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.'" So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we struggle understanding that, I think, sometimes. How is that kingdom becoming displayed? How is it being orchestrated and lived out in the people around us, and how are we to be a part of that? Excuse me. I have a list, and on this list, I just threw a bunch of things on there. It's on the screen. It's kind of a haphazard. Let me read some of the ones that we put up there. And some of these groups of people are ones that maybe not because they did anything wrong, things were done to them. Some of them made poor choices. Some of them bought into lies. And some of them is just part of life that they're in this listing, normal life. But there are ones that are sometimes overlooked, ignored, that are especially needy, that some of these groups are in bondage to different things in different ways. And we talked about the widows and the orphans. There are those who are oppressed, the poor, those in same-sex marriages, those that are caught up in the gender confusion, those that have fallen prey to racism or hatred, human trafficking, prostitution, persecution. Thank you very much. Let me think of abortion, pornography, all kinds of addictions, all kinds of abuse, immigrants, violence, homelessness, you know, and the list could go on. But these are people that have special needs that are struggling in significant ways, and they are vulnerable. And I think part of the pure religion that Christ is calling us to is to set aside self and pride and distraction and our busyness and pursue these people and love these people and help lead them to the saving power and the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Those people that I mentioned that are gone today, they'll be here, they'll be back hopefully next week, but they're going to have a fire in them because they're going to hear about some things that are going on, and they're going to want to help, and they're going to want to enlist you, some of you, and they're going to want to challenge our church as well. I want to give you some statistics, and I want to apologize, though, as we go through these before, because they are statistics that are, and there's just a few of them, but they're things that are hard to hear. There are things that offend our soul when we hear. These are things that happen in the shadows, things that a lot of them we're unaware of, but they're going on each and every day. And I'm thinking of the human trafficking where some of our folks are at today. Here's some of the statistics. The first one I have is the International Labor Organization estimates that the forced labor and human trafficking is a $150 billion industry worldwide. The International Labor Organization also estimates that there are 40.3 million victims of human trafficking global, and that's all human trafficking. There are different ways. 81% of them are trapped in forced labor, 25 of them are children, 75 women and girls. Then globally, the International Labor Organization estimates that there are 4.8 million that are trapped in forced sexual exploitation globally, 4.8 million. They've done studies and looked at people who traffic others for sexual profit. And the average pimp has 4 to 6 often young people. And he makes about $200,000 per person. So he makes $1 million or so plus on these 4 to 6 children. The average number of times each woman or child is sold each day. Each day is 15 times. Each day. Every 30 seconds, a child in the world is sold into slavery. Every 30 seconds. The average age of a child taken into sexual slavery, age 11 to 12, is the average. That's heartbreaking. The average lifespan of a victim caught up in this because of the disease and the abuse, 7 years. They end up dying from being beaten to death or some disease or something happens. 7 years. And they struggle to put numbers on this and to have a real solid study, but there are estimates in the United States that there's about 300,000 that are younger than age 18 that are caught up in the sexual trade, human trafficking, every year. And it's not something that happens over in Eastern Europe or Cambodia. It happens there certainly, but that's not where it only happens. It happens everywhere. And the numbers are rising and rising. And it happens here in Spokane, and it's a significant problem here in Spokane. I want you to think about the nature of God. I'm just going to give you a couple verses, and there are just a multitude of scriptures that describe this part of God's heart. He has an incredible heart for the vulnerable, for the broken, for the hurting, for the widow, for the orphan, and all those others. This is Psalm 68:5. says, a father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows. That is our God. Psalm 103:6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Job said, I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor. I searched out the case that I did not know. I broke the fangs of the wicked and I plucked the victim from his teeth. And I think that is what God, part of God's calling for us, what Job, how he portrayed himself. There's a man named Kent Annan, and he wrote a book, and I'm going to give you just a few principles that he outlined, but he's worked with the vulnerable, and he lays out, in this whole book, these few principles I'm going to just briefly mention, he develops them very fully in this book. But one is just that we need to be awake and aware, and he says, you know, in Matthew 26:38, and Jesus said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrow, even to death. Won't you just stay here and watch with me? Will you be a part? Will you be aware? Will you understand what's happening, the agony that I'm facing?" And really, that's probably one of our greatest callings as we think about the vulnerable, is to be aware, to be awake to it. Because many of us are slumbering. We don't have any idea what's going on, you know, at 2:15 a.m. in the morning across our city. The hurt and the brokenness and the horrible tragedies that are going on. So God's calling us to be awake and aware. He talks about confession and repentance. This is 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is, in essence, the thing that's going to change these people that are in bondage, that are in slavery, in some respect, that are struggling at the depths of what we're talking about here. The real answer is that they would recognize the love of God, that they would repent of their sins and come to Jesus Christ, that they would allow His Spirit and He would allow the transformation to happen in them. That all begins with faith and repentance and so forth. But we're part of that context too, that we would repent. That we would repent of our apathy, of our distractions. There's pages and pages of statistics that I could have read here, and some of them are just, you couldn't help but be being sobbing at the end of them as you realize all those numbers and all those horrible things that you're reading are the reality for young men and young women across the world here in Spokane, around our country. We have a lot to repent for individually as a church and as a nation. He talks about honor and respect. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." And really that is the context that we approach people that are struggling, that are caught up in things that are abhorrent to us or just beyond our imaginations, and we can't understand why they're there, why they're allowing that to happen. But he says to honor them, to respect them, to come alongside them, to love them, to gently and sweetly point them in the direction of Jesus Christ. He talks about partnership. Philippians 1:3 says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for all of you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And he's calling the church to partner with the community and partner together and find ways to minister to these people that we're talking about, the vulnerable and the broken and the hurting and those caught up in trafficking, that we need to be willing to do that. He talks about love and truth. John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And oftentimes when we see all these things going wrong, and we see the blatant disregard for truth and God's design and God's ways, what do? We talk a little louder. We put more posts on Facebook. Whatever we do, but it's not, he says, it's not enough. It's not enough to talk louder with your truth. You've got to love louder. You've got to love louder than your truth. And that seems to be where a lot of us fail, to love louder. Ultimately, that we're seeking the kingdom, Matthew 6:33, but seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is about seeking God's kingdom, that his kingdom would be released in our communities, released in the hearts and minds of these people, that they would be set free from what they're caught up in bondage to. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he, God, will pay back what he was given." Isn't that an amazing thought? That as I bless other people, I'm in a sense, in a way, lending to the Lord. I'm doing his bidding. I'm giving what he has given me in a sense. But it's just kind of a crazy thing to think that I'm somehow lending to the Lord, and that he will bless me back as I bless other people. Proverbs 21:13, "Whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard." A warning, isn't it? A lot of verses about the poor throughout the Word of God, compelling us, challenging us, inspiring us to have this heart of God towards the poor and the broken, the vulnerable. The book of Amos is a book about injustice. It's a book about selfishness and what would happen to these people if they didn't begin to be stop looking at themselves. And I want you to listen to this as it describes these people, and then especially the very last line. This is Amos 6, verse 3. It says, "Woe to you, woe to you who put far off the day of doom, who cause the seat of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory and stretch out on your couches, eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idly to the sound of stringed instruments and invent for yourselves musical instruments like David, who drink wine from bowls and appoint yourselves with the best ointments, but," he says, "but are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph." Joseph, the northern kingdom. They were all caught up in their affluence and all their stuff, and they were so consumed by it that they were not realizing that their nation and these people were doomed in a sense. And there were horrible things going on, but they were oblivious to it because they were just caught up in their stuff and their materialism. Is that us? Is that you? Is that our nation? The Word of God, as I said, is filled with some of these encouragements. I want to give you a couple more. This is Deuteronomy 24. "You shall not pervert the justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless, or take a widow's garment in a pledge." Isaiah 1, "Learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's case." Jeremiah 22, "Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed. And do not do wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place." Zechariah 7, "Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. And let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." And finally, Psalm 82 says, "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the land of the wicked." That's our calling. How is it, though, that we, if you're like me anyway, how is it that we are often so oblivious to all of these things going on? And we struggle to say, "Well, what? I didn't know this. And what can I do? Where do I start? This appalls me. I agonize over this. This is horrible. What should I do? Where do I begin?" That's the question, isn't it? That should be burning in us as we think of the vulnerable and the broken. We think of all that list of people. Well, like Jesus, as he read there in the temple that day and that Sabbath, it should be that you would say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That was the destiny of our Lord Jesus, and that is the calling of every follower, every disciple of his. But I realize more and more as we look into the dark recesses and down the alleys of our nation and around the corner, and we see some of the things that are happening, many, many believers and professed followers of Christ are doing very little. We're kind of back there in the book of Amos, lying on our beds of ivory, relaxing, oblivious, ignorant of so much, caught up in the things that really maybe don't matter. We're not seeking first the kingdom of God. What is the answer to all of this? It's the same answer it's always been, right? It's leading these people to Jesus Christ, because it is there, if they will allow him, that they can receive salvation and change and transformation and empowerment of the Spirit, that their whole world would be changed. God calls you to be a part of that. I love this quote. This is David Platt. He says, "And while we stand with conviction and courage, we must live with compassion. Amid a world with massive social needs all around us, ranging from desperate poverty and orphan crises and millions of girls being trafficked for sex to the degradation of marriage and the abortion of babies, we need to speak and act with selfless love on all these issues." Speak and act on all these issues. We're often really good about speaking, aren't we? How are we at acting? On getting up and doing something? There's where many of us fail. That's where I often fail. Are we willing to pursue pure religion, as James put it? Resolve to pursue God's kingdom on earth by caring for the vulnerable through our compassionate living, our selflessness, our stepping out of our comfort zones, and finding out what's really going on at 2:15 a.m. in Spokane, and what can I do about it? How can I help? And you may just feel like, that's too much. That's not me. I wouldn't know where to begin. I don't know what to do. I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Don't cop out like many of us do, including myself, far, far too often. Where do we begin? Well, there's really a list of things, so many things, as we begin to explore and think about this. Of course, the first is to get down on our knees and pray for these young men and these young women that are caught up in some of these tragic, tragic things, to realize that God is with us. He can enable us. So becoming a prayer warrior, so important. To stand for life, to stand against abortion, to come alongside a woman in a crisis pregnancy, to love her and explain God's beautiful design for her baby and for her being a mother and for what God has for her. To engage in the global or the national orphan crisis. As you read the statistics on the need for foster care, it's enormous. It's enormous. Pastor Greg Lincoln, I saw him at Super Sabbath last week. He pastors Harrisburg, Oregon, and they raised a family, and now they've taken three kids as foster kids that they're raising and helping. And we talked about, I said, you know, by the time a lot of us as parents, by the time our kids, it takes us like their whole lifetime to figure out what parenting is all about, right? And so by the time that they're leaving the house, we say, oh, okay, I think I kind of got it figured out. But they're gone now. So what do I do with all this knowledge and expertise that I have? And so Greg and I were thinking, what an opportunity. What an opportunity for a set of parents with all that knowledge, with all that expertise to say, yeah, our nest is empty and we're loving the freedom, you know, and this is nice, but, you know, maybe this isn't exactly what God has for us. Maybe we're supposed to minister to some of these foster children. Maybe God has other plans for us still. Honoring the elderly, encouraging the persecuted Christians, praying for them, but there's other things that we can do. Helping single parents, showing compassion to the homeless, fighting for freedom for many that are caught up in all kinds of slavery. There's a lot of different kinds of bondage in our culture. And we're called to rise up and help people to be set free, the captives to be set free from that. Speaking out against pornography, which oftentimes fuels this sex trade and a lot of these horrific things that happen. Being willing to partner with other people and finding out what's going on and what you can do in Spokane. Befriending orphans. Showing hospitality to people of different races, to immigrants, to people that are vulnerable because of their background or their ethnicity or whatever it is. Being an advocate, and really the list goes on and on. Seeking justice for the vulnerable. It's a lot of things that we can do. If we were to look at the stats, that list I put up of all those different things, if we were to pick a few more and give you stats, you'd be horrified about all of those too. But would you be horrified enough to do something? That's the question, isn't it? Will you go home tonight? And when you sigh and set your clock forward, will you have forgot about all those statistics? Or will you say, no, I'm not going to forget. I am praying that God would show me what it is that He has for me to do in regard for those things. I want you to think about what He has for you. These different groups of the vulnerable and the broken, those that are in different types of bondage. Of course, the answer is always Jesus, but how is God using us to bring Jesus and His salvation and His grace and His transformation to these people? I want you to stand and continue to think about that, how God's calling you, and we're going to sing a closing song and we'll pray together. But really, at this moment, if you could just really think about, what is it that God has for me? What am I supposed to do with this information? All of these things are going on, and I hate it. I'm horrified by it. But what is God calling you to do? How will you bring Jesus Christ to these people that we're talking about today?